Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back to another week of Awkward Sex and the City. And guess what? Your girl has got a guest this time. It's not just me speaking into the void. You like it? You don't like it? I'm not sure. I was getting sick of hearing my own voice and thoughts, to be quite honest. So we've got a great guest today. We have a lot of guests lined up for the next few weeks. Super excited. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're still wearing your mask, still washing your hands. All that fun shit. I also hope before I intro this episode, well, I am introing the episode right now before I say the intro of like what this episode's about. I also hope you are getting excited for whatever's coming next. However that looks for you. And for me, from personal experience, having last year kind of, you know, taken away from us has made me really want to prioritize things that I've always wanted to do. And things like that, like surfing and shit like that. So one of those things was getting a tattoo. So I got a tattoo and love it, here for it, probably get another, but I'm just talking about it because I want to pass that on to you guys as well. If like you're looking to get anything out of 2020, maybe it's, you know, realizing what you really want and going for it. It's not easy. I lost sleep because I was so nervous about the tattoo, but can say, would recommend going for the things that you want, which is also kind of like what this episode's a little bit about. So let me get to that before this becomes a solo episode about 2020 all over again. So this week I got to sit down and talk with, remotely of course, via Zoom, with the director, Zach Lampluth, of the movie 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. It's going to be on demand starting May 7th on Apple TV, Amazon, Google Play, Fandango, from Cranked Films. And if you go to the description, you'll be able to find the link to go watch. I highly recommend. It was a good time. It is about Bigfoot, but it's also about other things. And I feel like if I say anything more about it, I feel like I'm gonna accidentally spoil, which I have a habit of doing. But we talk about the film, we talk about creating it and what it's like and where the inspiration for this movie came from. And we also talk about, of course, awkward sex. You know, Zach has some great stories of things that I had never heard before, been talked about on the show or the podcast. And again, that's one of my favorite things about talking to someone that I haven't met before and how universal awkward sex is, yet how unique it is as well. Like there's not a lot of like crossover with stories except with poop. There are some poop crossover stories, which of course we talk about poop. Well, I talk about poop because when do I not? So again, if you want to go watch 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot by director Zach Lampluth, you can see it and find it on demand video on demand come May 7th. Again, Apple TV, Amazon, Google Play, Fandango from Cranked Up Films. And I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Happy Saturday. Watched the film yesterday. Loved it.
Thanks. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. What gave you the idea? Like, what gave you the idea of, like, to do, like, that kind of, like, Vice angle?
Oh, man. Working at media companies.
Okay. So this is, like, kind of based in reality?
Yeah. Yeah. Working at media companies. I mean, me and Tim have mostly experienced this. Tim is our producer, where there's just kind of this, like, dynamic of, like, is the gig fun? Well, then it doesn't pay anything. Does the gig, like, crush your soul? Then it's buckets of money. You know, like, that's mm-hmm. that. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that. It's like the whole industry just, like, kind of grinds your spirit to a powder. You know what I mean? Like if you're like, if you want to be like an artist, it's like, well, yeah, you can make paintings, but nobody buys those. Or you can make, like, logos for healthcare companies that are way too picky about dumb shit. And you get, like, you know, $100 an hour or something.
Mm hmm.
I was trying to come up with a character that, like, could have that struggle on screen, or have that, like, have that on screen happening to them. Because I feel like it happens, whether or not people are conscious of it, I feel like it happens a lot. I have, like, a lot of friends that, you know, are bloggers for things they like for no money. And then, you know, they ghostwrite for copy for websites that, and then that's, like, how they make their living. Which is weird. It's kind of like a weird half-life to live, if that makes
absolutely.
Any sense.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I used to freelance write more. I don't really freelance write anymore. But I worked for this one company where you had to write, I think it was 8 blog posts a shift.
Yeah.
About fucking, like, Selena Gomez or, like, Kim Kardashian's unfiltered pic that got leaked. Mm-hmm. And you had to get this many out every, like, 9 hours, and it had to have a certain amount of hits. And if you didn't get those hits, you got fired. I lasted 2 weeks, and he asked me to come in for an exit interview, and I literally said no and then blocked him on Gmail. I was like, no, I'm not. I actually got a kidney infection during the job for not because of the job, and, like, literally, like, almost died. And he was like, I was like, I have to go. I have to go to the hospital. And he was like, come into my office. Why do you have to go? And I was like, because my organs are shutting down. Like, I can't, I don't care about Selena Gomez right now. But when you said it crushes your soul and it's a half-life, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then the other twisted dynamic is, like, I feel like the people that are cool, the people like Vice or any of these, like, cooler companies, they know that they're cool, and they kind of use that, mm-hmm. right? They're kind of like, yeah, well, but you'll be, like, working at Vice, so, you know, maybe you'll make, like, $28,000 a year and get a lot of exposure, you know? Yeah.
Gotta love the exposure.
Right? Yeah, I'm over it. I'm trying to do, this is just me, I'm trying to do one or the other now. Like, I'm trying to not have a middle ground. I'm trying to just, like, on the one hand, like, you know, I'm making a movie that I want to make, or on the other hand, like, I'm selling cigarettes. Like, that's it. Like, we're just selling, like, cigarettes and vitamins that are scams. And we're just going to make, like, a ton of money. That's all we're trying to do here. No middle ground. That's where you get stuck. When you try to get paid for your dreams.
I actually think that's a really good point to point out. Like, it is really easy to get stuck in that middle ground. Because mm-hmm. you're kind of told that lie of, like, but you're doing it. You're doing what you went to school for. This is, like, it's in the genre of what you wanted.
Yeah, and you're a writer, technically.
Mm-hmm. And you're fucking soul sucking. It's soul sucking. And it's like, ugh. So when did you get out? When were you like, I can't do this anymore?
I'm still editing. I'm still working at media companies. And I mean, all of them are, I feel like it's kind of a rotating experience for me. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I'm doing something like the movie where it's like, that didn't, you know, I haven't seen any money from that. And then sometimes I'm doing stuff that is in that middle ground, and that's always, like, good for the resume. And then sometimes I'm doing stuff where it's just like the saying is, this one's for the meal, not for the real. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that, where it's like, I hate this, but it's double my usual rate. So, you know, that's it's always like a cycle where it's like there's 4 months where you're just like, God, I hated everything that we made, but we made a bunch of money. And then there's like 4 months where I'm, you know, you're just like, boy, it's what a cool project. But I hate that, you know, like you said, where you're like, I'm a writer at somewhere cool, but like, do I even like this? You know,
did you go to school for like media arts or like for directing or film?
I went for film, and that was, man, I'm pretty pessimistic. you're gonna figure that out. But I went to school for film, but I went to this awful, it wasn't awful. It was just like, it was a film school in Mississippi. I went to a state where, you know, I lived there and I liked it a lot, but, you know, like they're not known for like literacy rates. And I went there for higher education, and their school, USM, which I love USM, like they're super cool. But the film school was just these two old guys. They were not up to date at all. They had us shooting on real film, which was awful. Like, it's so expensive. You make a short, it costs like $700.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't know what the hell you're doing because you're like 20. So, you know, you shoot like, I shot like 4 reels of a short and only 3 came back. And I had to edit it on like a Steenbeck. Dude, there have been at least 3 or 4 times I've been in a museum and been like, I used to own that.
Oh like, my God.
Yeah, like people are always like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I cut on one of those one time. Like in the Editor's Guild here or something like that, there'll be like an old piece of equipment that's supposed to be like antiquated. And I'm like, I actually did that in my college education. But, these two old guys, one of them was just like, would only show you black and white movies that were before 1970 that were like super obscure. Like they wouldn't show, he would like show you Chinatown maybe, but then he would also show you like 4 other ones that led up to Chinatown that were much less historically important. Then there was this other guy who had only seen, I think he would only talk about like 3 movies. When Harry Met Sally.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, he would talk about When Harry Met Sally, In the Line of Fire, that Clint Eastwood movie.
It once with my dad like a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the other one was Star Wars maybe. Those were his only 3. Like, and any time he used an example, he'd be like, you know, like from When Harry Met Sally, where the protagonist does this and that. And man, like one time somebody else raised their hand and was like, "What do you think of this movie? What do you think of Wes Anderson?" And he said, "I don't exactly know who that is, but." And this was I went to college in like 2009. Back at like peak Wes Anderson.
And I was, you like, that's, I mean? Very peak. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Life Aquatic could just come out and shit, dude. And this guy didn't even know who that was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Can't say I'm familiar with his work. You know, like, I was just like, oh, geez.
Wow. So you learned a lot.
Right. Yeah. So learned a lot about how to edit on like stuff from the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm just so shocked. I feel like I went for media arts, and like the school had like a film department, or they called it digital video. And the whole thing for them was like, look at how cool our equipment is. And that they're like, no, we're keeping it old school.
Dude, I don't know why that was. I don't know why I allowed it in my life. I should have just fucking left. I think, you know, my dad was just kind of like, you got to get a degree, you know? And I mean, like that's another thing that people are usually pushed to like having it, which is, I guess, important. But yeah, that was a real dark 2 years of just being surrounded by old shit. God. Anyway, dude, we went out, me and my roommate went out and bought our own stuff. Like, wow. We just like they were all like, you know, on this film stuff, and we were like, so we're just gonna spend like $3,000 and buy a camera and just shoot all digital. And they were like, well, we'll have to like take a look at it. And I just bought it. I was like, fuck you guys.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah. It was blowing my mind at the time. I don't know if I learned anything. I don't know if I learned anything from that experience. But you like to think maybe you did. You like to think maybe you learned something from it being difficult or different or But I don't know if I did. Yeah.
Oh, God. The reason I asked you was because one thing I wish happened at my school was that there was like a class that was like, let's get real about what this degree looks like in the real world.
Yeah.
And you obviously were not going to have that option either.
No.
Yeah.
No, there was. So out of our whole department, me and one other guy have done film. I mean, well, all right. So I guess I don't keep everybody's email and like email them, but like one other guy has directed a handful of movies, and then my old roommate has a podcast about movies, and then like that's it as far as I know. Like that's, I think a lot of other people just kind of got a degree and like manage a store, you know, like
totally. I've worked in so much customer service with a 4-year degree in media arts and design.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't shit on them so much because they were all cool. Like all the students were cool people. It's just like it was just a very directionless program. And yeah, and like you said, like, yeah, there should be someone to give you direction of like what does the working world look like for this? And yeah, it's different. it's different than other degrees and other fields. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how, not to change the subject, but this pops in my head. Did you film this during COVID?
No.
I'm sorry. It's 15 things you didn't know about Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 15 things you didn't know about. Okay,
we filmed this in
2018. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just been kind of a long road with like, you know, festivals and then finding distribution and then trying to find a home for it. So it's just been like, and also, to be fair, post-production, we were still shooting parts of it up until June 2019. we, because it was just like reshoots. And when you shoot something that's like more of a passion project, it's going to take longer. It's going to take longer to get everybody on the same page scheduling wise. But what was nice about that was we could like pivot, like because we were the creators of it and producing it and everything. We had like a cut of the movie where we watched the whole thing and then we were like, I just think it sucks. And then we like, well, or just like the character, you know, like the, it was, we made the whole thing and then there was a few parts character wise where we were like, this character just like sucks. So we were like, if we take like 2 scenes or 3 scenes and reshoot them and put in like character moments, it'll make the whole rest of the movie correct. You know what I mean? So we did that. So there was like, we shot the very end with the like the very last scene where he's in South America, like that was the very last thing we shot because we just didn't like the ending before. We were like, this ending sucks. So we just like got our buddy who's Venezuelan to come be in that for one afternoon. And I think that was like the last thing we shot in like July 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's true. You got a lot of room to really make it the way you want to make it that way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like you're having to get, you know, a ton of budget for shooting something. Like if you just seen where we shot that last scene, that was not in the jungle. That was in like, it was probably the size of my bedroom. Like that little stretch of like woods, you know, we had a friend who had shipping containers on his land and I went out and scouted it out. And I was like, I think if we film here and we like, don't turn the camera at all, it can look like the jungle. Like that's, that's most of this movie is like us finding places and just being like, if everybody doesn't move, like this can be the mountains.
I love it. The movie magic. Yeah. That's my favorite. I love that. Oh, you mentioned earlier, now you're in LA. So when did you move from Georgia to LA? Was it after?
I just moved out here.
You just moved out here. Yeah. Okay. Like a month, like 2 months?
Like a couple months ago. Yeah. I just moved out here. Like, me and my girlfriend is she's a nurse practitioner. So
you're gonna be like a nerd. She's a huge nerd. Oh my god, she's a nurse practitioner. Cool.
Yeah, she's a nurse practitioner, and so we spent most of 2020 like traveling because with COVID and everything. You know, that was a nuts year for us. Like we both got laid off.
She got laid off too?
Well, yeah. So there was a huge demand for nurses for COVID, but when they shut everything down, there's not a huge demand for nurses who do kidney dialysis or stuff like that.
Oh.
I mean, like they were doing probably for dialysis, that's necessary, but clinic nurses were like also furloughed. So anybody who was like, and her thing at the time was aesthetics. She has all these, she has a background in like real medical everything, but she just had been working for a company for about a year that was Botox, laser hair removal, cool sculpting. Yeah, a few different like things. And she had a job lined up too. Like they were going to transfer her to a new office. So we were like, awesome, we're going to go like to this new place. And then like, 2 or 3 weeks after she got that like promotion, they like laid her off. I lost my job. You know, everything kind of went bananas. And then she went and did the COVID thing in New York. Like she was there like week after all the bodies in the cool truck, all that stuff.
Damn. Well, tell her as someone who's in New York City, thank you so much. It really did mean a lot to us that people were coming from different states to help. Because it was, as you know, because you were you there too in New York with her?
I was not. No, I didn't do that one. But I traveled with her to other gigs. So we spent a lot of time in like Arizona. I spent a lot of time in, she worked in like Oakland and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of nuts. It was kind of nuts being traveling so much during all that too, just being like, well, I guess we're just doing this.
Yeah, there was a lot with COVID of just like, oh, this is what it is now, and it's either you kind of freak out about it or you're just like, well, this is now the new wave that I'm on. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Man, so we met because I was kind of her landlord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my dad has always like bought and sold houses and rented houses and stuff. And he split one with me and my brother and my sister. He found a house on auction, but he needed the cash. So he was like, hey, you guys have cash? So we all just like bought a house together and renovated it. And then we rented it. And it was her when she was in nursing school. Her and a few other girls, and
I was just going over there occasionally to like mow the lawn and met her that way.
Oh my God. How was it with being in a relationship, you know, producing and directing? And you wrote too, right? You wrote this?
Yeah. Me and Brian wrote it, and then Tim and Brian helped produce it with me. But so Somali is also associate producer on this as well.
Oh, cool. I mean,
there was towards the end, she was, you know, she some of the final shoots, like she was basically producing it with me. Like I would be like, you know, this Saturday we need to wake up early. You need to go to the grocery store and get like
craft services.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be like ordering, or I'm going to be like working with the actors, and she'd be like arranging actors Uber rides and shit on her phone. Like, yeah, at some point she's basically like producing at least some of the like reshoots with me. But man, so you understand the funny. So we were supposed to get married in 2018. All right, so we got engaged, set a date. Kind of felt like we had to set a date because we're engaged now. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You don't get engaged and just like hang out, right? So you're like, well, we need to like set a
date. And it's like the first question everyone asks you repeatedly of like, when's it happening?
Oh,
when's the date? It's so fucking annoying. Yeah. No, yeah. I get it.
So I found the perfect way out for you.
Okay.
You might already have the way out, but here. So anyway, so what happened was we set a date. Yeah. Cause people kept asking. We were trying to be cheap. We went and found like a big Airbnb. We were just going to be like, let's just have like 20, 30 people over at a giant Airbnb that we can all crash at afterwards. That has like 8 or 10 bedrooms. And, you know, we'll probably get it catered. That's it. Like cater. And then like, we're not going to get a DJ. We'll just like bring an iPod. And just like costs just kept going up as it does. Like it just goes from like, I bet we could do this for 5,000. Now it's 7. Now it's going to hit 10. And it just like was so, it was, cost kept going up. After a while, it's like, do we really want to spend $10,000 on a party? You know, we could go to like 3 continents. We could just, if we wanted to blow it, like, let's blow it. Let's like go have fun for a month and a half. And, but what happened was the Airbnb called us and was like, hey, we lost our license for events. So now you have to have it, the wedding at a different event, at a different place. Yeah, they like offered us alternatives, and then we had to like get a lawyer involved like get our money back. But they refunded all of our money, and we managed to get all of our money back, which was, it was so cool. Like, because everybody always acts like that's a bad thing. Like, they were like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm like, dude, imagine like how stressed you were like 4 months before your wedding, and then you just get a phone call that's like, by the way, this can go away. And like, that's, so we like went and got drinks afterwards. We were like, yes, this rocks. We don't have to get married. And then, yeah, I don't know how that would have happened with the movie. Cause after shooting the movie and like seeing how much that took of my life, like the wedding would not have been able to happen. You know, it would have been like within a couple months of each other. It would have been impossible.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah.
And because the wedding was on and then now it's off, that's the way out. People for a long time, I think, were scared to ask because they thought we broke up.
Oh.
So people were like, they were like, well, I know he had like a wedding date and then like it didn't happen. And I don't know. So like they, yeah. So family stopped asking. People, it was great. It's perfect.
That is amazing.
It's been, what, 2-3 years now?
And then you had COVID. And so like, you couldn't do any weddings then, really.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, man. It's the perfect way to like fly under the radar is, I'd advise anybody to do that who's engaged and getting incredibly annoyed. Just set an arbitrary date. You don't even have to have the Airbnb. Just make it up and then pretend something happened. And then all these aunts who didn't talk to you before will stop talking to you again. It's perfect.
I love it. I'm here for it. Yeah, the cost of, I was really hoping that COVID would implode the wedding industry, and it has not. I checked in with like one venue in, because we're in New York, so everything's already going to be more expensive. Checked in with one new venue that I thought maybe was going to be cheap because they just aren't, it's not in the city, it's in Rockaways, it's in the Queens. They quoted me for $54,000, and I was like, get the fuck out of my face. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, man. Some of the people I know that are like, they're like my friends and stuff. Like when I hear how much stuff actually cost, I'm like, dude, you could have bought a house. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like you could travel for a month and a half on that. Like,
yeah. $54,000. You could live for a year and a half on that.
It's more than I've like ever made in a year. I used to be a nanny and I used to go on this play dates with this like older stay at home dad. And he was always like, look, the bigger the wedding, the uglier the divorce. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. And it's kind of been true. Like, as I've gotten older, I've kind of seen it that happen. And I was like, yeah, the people that don't care that much about the actual day and just kind of like love the person that they're with seem to be the ones that like make it, you know, you're now like going on 9 years. You've made a film together. And that's like you said, that's a whole part of your life. Like, that's another thing that like in film and these like media arts degrees, schools, that they need to be like, this is really hard if you want to have a relationship with someone too. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Like you're saying, though, like I dig that we're probably just going to do a courthouse wedding. Mm-hmm. We're probably just going to do that. Just go down there and get insurance together.
I'm all about a courthouse elopement. So I do have to ask. You don't have to answer. Do you have any awkward sex stories you would like to talk about?
Man, hold on. I wrote one down.
Oh, yeah. I love when the guests write stuff down. It's like they did their homework.
Yeah. Right? So, like I said, I was kind of her super. Mm-hmm. I was kind of having to come over and, like, fix the sink or whatever every so often. And one of the first times I stayed the night there, but it was only because I was too drunk. It wasn't like we didn't hook up or whatever. I just slept on the couch. I woke up still feeling not great. And just went to the bathroom and immediately clogged the toilet, and apparently they didn't own a plunger. So I clogged the toilet in my own house that they're renting for me, and then had to go down, like, still hungover, having to, like, bleary-eyed go to the Dollar General and buy a plunger and then come back. And you can't do that, like, under the radar.
Mm-mm.
You can't be like, oh, real quick, I'm gonna like hop out and do that. That was like a 30-minute errand.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love the cross section or cross intersection of like awkward sex and poop. Like, it comes in all the time. If it makes you feel better the first time, I like hooked up, had a stay over date with my current fiance, I got explosive diarrhea.
Yeah.
So it just, it happens. The poop.
Yeah. And if you can get past that, then you're, get past anything.
You're great. That's amazing though, because were they just like, well, you're the super, so like, go buy us a plunger? Like, this is actually your responsibility for like multiple reasons?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't know the other girls as well either. That's the other thing too. So it's almost like, yeah, I'm taking a shit in a stranger's house and just being like, yeah, sorry, I clogged this. I'll be right back. And people are starting to wake up. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Oh, no.
And then in that same house, so my dad has always like bought and sold rental properties and stuff. That's not his like career, but he just always has. And, he'll just like have stuff in storage that like, you know, if there's like a tenant who's like moving in or something and doesn't have a dining room table, he's like, I got one of those. If you want one, you can take a dining room table. Anyway, I'm at her place and we had just like hooked up for the first time and I'm in bed. We're in bed and I lean back and my hand touches the headboard. And then I feel this thing and it like feels really familiar and I realize it's my childhood bed. It's like literally the bed I used to sleep in when I was like 9.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love your delivery too, because like a lot of people really like ham it up with like their stories and you're just like, and then this happened. And it's like the funniest thing I've heard like in months. It's your fucking childhood bed.
Dude. Yeah, and that was a really weird sensation because it had like a weird thing that came off. It was like a kind of a weird bed frame that like had like a decorative knob. And so,
I just, like, mine used to have that too. And you could like pull it in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that and was like, oh, shit, this is my bed. And then that I had to explain to her, you know what I mean? I was like, this is my bed.
Was there any point where you're like, I guess we should tell my dad because we're hooking up and I'm technically your super? Or did he just not care? He was like, whatever.
I think they just figured out. Like, I think my parents figured out because, like I said, it's a small town. You know, if I'm going somewhere else and not coming home at night. I was actually crashing with them. I was crashing with them for like 4 or 5 months because of a producer gig.
Mm-hmm.
There was a TV show being shot there. So, like, if I'm, like, going out and not coming home, yeah, it's, like, it's obvious. There's, like I said, it's, like, 4 nursing students. You know what I mean? Everybody else is 42 years old. So they figured it out that's where I was going.
Obviously, yeah. It worked out. Obviously, it's
yeah,
still
exactly.
Together.
Yeah, and now my parents live in that house. So we still occasionally go there.
That bed is still there. It's like in a guest room.
I think it is in the same place. It's kind of their like office now, but I think it's in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. That's wild. This is the, that was, I was,
I hope
not
they don't listen to this. Hope they don't listen to this and know about that bed now.
Ooh, they might. They might. I can't guarantee they won't hear it, but they sound, you know, like they're chill. They sound like they're chill parents.
Someone's probably changed the sheets by now. It's been about 8 years.
We can only hope, because I've known men that haven't. So
yeah,
can only hope. And myself, I actually was really bad about changing my sheets. I do it like once a year, and I didn't understand why there's like a brown spot like in the middle where I sat and slept. There's nothing you can say to that, and that's totally fine. That was just kind of a memory that I had.
That was kind of a thought for me.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So we've talked kind of about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, there's great stuff in here, but I always like to ask if there's anything you'd like to talk about before we wrap up.
Man, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to ask about the movie or anything?
I really liked the film. I thought it was fun. I really liked the Vice angle to it. That's the first thing I noticed, which I think, a lot of people will notice, but I was like, this is resonating with me with this, main character. So sad.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I just hope it finds people and people connect with it, Like I hope that people see it and it's, a character that they can relate to, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it will, especially for my audience. Like a lot of creatives listen to this show, and I think a lot of that resonates with people of just feeling stuck or feeling underappreciated. Like especially with the relationship between the main character and the cameraman of you're in this together, but you're not. And the other one that really, really also struck a chord with me was someone who didn't deserve that role, got it. And you're just because they have more Insta followers, or they have more credits. And you're just I don't want to be bitter, but here I am being a bitter bitch, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
What is next for you guys? Are you guys do you guys normally work together or
kind normally of- work together and hoping to make another movie? Hoping cool. to make another movie with, maybe some of the same people, maybe some add more people to it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in. Yeah. Hoping to make another one. We've been outlining more movies and getting started on scripts and things like that. So we were kind of lucky with the scheduling of this because, like I said, we premiered in 2019, hit festivals through the spring of 2020, and then COVID happened. Luckily, we could hit all these virtual festivals. So luckily we got the movie done just in time, 6 months before lockdown.
Everything shut down.
Yeah, but everybody that I've talked to since then, who's a director or producer, is you can't make movies right now, or you can, and it costs time and a half because mm-hmm. everybody has to get a million COVID tests, masks. Nobody can stand near each other. Everyone's doing more than they should because you can only have 8 people on set instead of 20 people on set. So it's so I'm kind of I'm eager to start the next project and pitch and everything, but I don't know realistically how far that process can go. If somebody's I really love this script you wrote, let's make it in 2024. I'm mm-hmm. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, like, I'm excited to start the next thing and like try and find funding and everything to make the next thing. But I'm also kind of like, well, I hope that's even a possibility, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough, like a hard pill to swallow, but it's like true. Like that's the reality of it right now. It's just like, yeah, you don't know. And like, mm-hmm, I don't know about LA right now. Like things are really starting to pick up for filming in New York. But I don't know about LA, especially because like there's just different like positivity rates and stuff too. And just, yeah, I don't know. It's a bummer. It sucks. But yeah, if you're creative right now, it kind of blows.
So I work in post and I work in animation.
Oh, fuck. That's awesome.
For my day job. And so that's the main reason that we like just came out here, because I found a gig. But all my live action friends have been telling me that the live action film scene has been getting better a little bit because of how strict LA and New York are. So they're apparently like, you know, how strict it is here. They're like, all right, we need to shoot this M&M's commercial. Nobody in Georgia cares. So they just go there and shoot it. So apparently it's, and yeah, for my day job, unfortunately, I've always been an editor. So yeah, that has sucked. But like, so the editing there has like gone downhill for some reason, but the live action seems to have stayed steady if you're like an on-set PA or something.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I've wondered about like Georgia too, like with this new like voting law, if they were going to pull filming out of Georgia. I don't know.
I think all that's bullshit. I mean, obviously the law is bullshit, or, you know, a lot of times you catch like headlines that are like, this Georgia representative said something about gay people. And then you look him up and it's like, dude, this guy's from like some know nothing ass town. He's just getting what he wants, which is his name in the press. Why are people in New York writing about this guy? Mm-hmm. He would be a fucking ghost if it wasn't for him being like, we're going to introduce a new bill that says Muslims, you know, something or other. And it's like, dude, you're from a town with no Muslims. Like you're punching the wind. On the one hand, it's that. It's just like people from nowhere trying to make a name for themselves. And then on the other hand, dude, people from Hollywood keep falsely threatening as well to pull out. So it's just other fakery from the other side, who are people who are like, I'll never film in Georgia. It's like, you never have. There were people from Game of Thrones who were like tweeting about how they'll never film in Georgia. And yeah, they never have. So it's like, you're just the same version of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sucks being from Atlanta in that sense, because people are always like, did you hear that the Game of Thrones people are not going to film in Georgia? Well, sure, they film in fucking Croatia. They never were going to come here. they're just trying to make a name for themselves by, you know, getting in a fight with some backwater ass dude from outside Savannah.
Mm-hmm. The thing that upsets me about it is because, like, so I was a nanny for an actor, so I've, you know, been in Atlanta multiple times because she was shooting in Atlanta. What makes me upset about it, of not just like how shitty this law is, but it really affects a lot of people's lives. Of like, people move to Georgia to, you know, pursue their dreams there, or like, it like doubly hurts, I feel like, Georgia, which I don't know.
Because companies are like threatening to pull out and stuff.
So it's like people would lose jobs. It would lose a lot of tax like income for the actual state. I'm not politically savvy enough to like know the right next move, but I don't want people to lose shit after already what's happened this year for something that they didn't want to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's like a. Man, so the Cambodian king before Pol Pot came to power, he said, because he basically got caught up in the war between the U.S. He got caught up in the spillover from Vietnam because their country's border. But he said, who loses when two elephants fight? The grass.
Oh, fuck.
He was caught up between the Soviet Union and the U.S. having a proxy war in Vietnam that spilled over onto his land and caused all kind of rebellion, and it caused these like political factions and totally screwed up his country. But like, what, are you going to go to war with Russia? You're a tiny ass little country. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Damn. Yeah. It's a good point.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how that state is, at least in that regard. It's just like businesses getting mad at politicians, getting mad at businesses again, and threatening to pull out and not doing it, and then who knows? Maybe they will. Maybe they'll do it this time, because I think they pulled all of Delta's tax incentives or something like that, or they threatened to.
Delta, yes, Delta did something. MLB
Delta said,
did
like,
something.
This is bad. Yeah.
I think Coca-Cola did too, which is that is the one place I wanted to go when I was in Atlanta.
The World of Coke?
Mm-hmm. And I never made it. And then my friend used to work there and she was like, yeah, don't, because there's just kids like throwing up. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, okay.
I went when I was a kid because that was like the closest big city.
Uh-huh.
And then I went as an adult because when I first moved there as an adult, I was like, let's go check it out. It sucks. Or it's just like... It's the only thing that anybody remembers about it from when they were a kid is the tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
And the tasting room, the only real thing about it is you taste all this stuff like Nigerian Coke, and then you go, ugh, gross. And then you go to like Finnish Coke, and you're like, ugh, weird. And so you just try all these different sodas, and then you're like, that was strange. Yeah, you basically just go around the world being like, everything sucks except Coke. And then all the other attractions, not great.
Is there anything you really miss from Georgia right now while in LA?
See, I want to say seeing people, but you shouldn't be seeing people. Mm-hmm. And right now, Georgia's bad about that. So, seeing people and then also just like food. Mm.
It's like one of the best places I've had food. Like I had steak tartare there. I had duck for the first time there. Grain, sweetbreads, oysters, just so good.
Did you ever go up to Buford Highway?
I don't remember.
It's further up northeast, and it's not like really walkable. It's not like being in Silver Lake or something where mm-hmm. it's like a little area. It's like a 5-mile stretch of highway. It's all Hispanic and Asian. So it's, and they have every kind of like food and every kind of business. So if you want, like, they have obviously Korean, Chinese, Malaysian, and also like all these different cultures have like different, you know, you can get like Japanese bakery and, different kinds of like Asian coffees and then like every kind of Latin food. So the last time I was there, I just happened to be in the neighborhood in that area. And I was like really wanting coffee because it was early in the morning. So I just typed in Colombian. I'd never even been to a Colombian place before. And I just typed it in and there was one like a mile and a half away and I went. And it was really good. I'd never had Colombian pastries before. The pastries are kind of my thing. So good.
Pastries are the best.
Yeah. So if you're ever there, go up to Buford Highway. That's the joint.
No, I definitely have to check it out because that doesn't sound familiar at all. And it sounds amazing. I love all foods. I love trying every single type of food possible. I love it all. Which is why I get diarrhea a lot, which is why I got diarrhea with that guy. My fiance. No, everyone's always like, do you have IBS? I was like, no, I love food and we'll try everything.
Yeah, I'm just really good at eating.
Sometimes it has adverse effects. This has been great. I love it.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you guys really liked this episode. I had a great time chatting with Zach. I hope he did too. And again, if you want to go see and check out 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot, it will be available video on demand starting May 7th on Apple TV, Amazon, Google Play, Fandango, from Cranked Up Films. And again, the link will be in the description of this podcast episode. So we've done taken all the steps out for you. You just click that link and you'll be there. Again, I hope you guys are doing okay. I know it's everything's weird. Everything's weird. Please keep wearing your mask, even if you're vaccinated. Please keep washing your hands, even if you're vaccinated. It feels so close. We are so close. I'll see you guys next week.